3, 2, 1. Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome back to another episode of The Rank Bank. Today's topic is a personal favourite of mine, top three cakes. We have Hannah and Evan on, aka Heaven, and you'll hear a few barks from their really cute corgi. So sit back, relax, and grab your chocolate chips. Listeners, and welcome back. We've got two new guests on today. We've got Hannah.
Hi.
And we've got Evan.
Hi.
Enthusiastic as ever.
After last week's food round, we thought we'd take it more bespoke this week and go on to cakes for this week's win.
Are you ready?
3, 2, 1. Biggest ranker.
Ooh, yeah.
So, Chris, who should we begin with?
Let's start with you this week, Jeff.
Oh, God, right. Okay, so I'll start. I haven't got much description, boys and girls, this week, so I'll just pile right into my number three, which is the Millionaire's Shortbread from the Bridge Cafe in Whaley Bridge, which is in North Derbyshire. Most of you listeners might have heard of it because it had a dam collapse last year. The only reason why it might be famous. But this place is incredible, and you can now get the cakes delivered to your house anywhere in the UK. Basically, as I've mentioned before, the Millionaire's Shortbread I absolutely love. It's just pure luxury, and it's just incredible from this Bridge Cafe. So that's my number three. I don't really know what more to add. I described it in episode one, so yeah. The next cake that I've picked is actually hailing from Manchester. Can't remember the cafe that does it now, but it's called Shit Wedding Cake, and honestly, it's incredible. It is such a shit-looking wedding cake. You can buy it in store. It's three tiers, but obviously you can just get the slice. It's basically sponge with some jam in, white cream, like, frosting, and hundreds and thousands sprinkled on top. And I just love how kitsch it is. I got it every Friday when I walked home from work, just as a treat. And it's just incredible. So if anyone's getting married, I would advise you to go and find Shit Wedding Cake in Manchester. Hannah and Evan might want to replace what you had planned.
It's very tempting with that name and that description.
Everyone needs hundreds and thousands on top of their... Well, what's it called in America? It's not hundreds and thousands.
Yeah, we call them sprinkles, like normal people. Hundreds and thousands. That has got to be one of the most verbose and unnecessarily wordy description for a topping ever. Hundreds and thousands. That's, I mean, there's so many syllables in that.
That is so true. What do you call them, Chris?
Hundreds and thousands, surely it's one or the other. There's either hundreds of them or thousands of them. It can't really be both. You
know? But I think in America, they're like, because I had some American chocolate the other day and it had these sprinkles in it. And they're like thicker and chewier than like the hundreds and thousands we get in the UK. Is that a thing? Have you had them since moving here?
Are they like the bar sprinkles, you mean, rather than like the little ball ones?
Oh, they're not the like silver balls.
No, no, but like, you know how hundreds and thousands are like tiny balls?
Level of maturity on this.
They're more like mini, 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 nano-sized sausage shape.
I thought that, but you can get them in tiny balls as well, and they're still called hundreds and thousands.
Oh.
You're just chewing on ball bearings.
No wonder.
Hundreds and thousands of them.
So then my top three, number one, and it's not number one, but for nostalgic reasons, I put it in. And it's the angel cake. Now, when I Googled for this description, apparently there's an angel food cake in America, but it's different, and I don't know what that is.
Oh.
So it's not the angel food cake.
Oh.
It's a sponge cake. Again, it's quite shit, but it's a sponge cake split into three colours, white, pink and yellow, with white cream in between. And the reason why I picked this, Because it's not soft. It's not that fluffy. It goes stale quite quickly, actually. Oh, God. I've never had it. But it reminds me of when I was really young. And we were invited to a family friend's party. And my mum, being my mum, made herself a dress out of white, pink and yellow fabric and went as an angel cake instead.
Aww.
And I don't know, I just thought, you be you, mum, that's incredible. And whenever I see an angel cake now, I just think of my mum dressed as an angel cake.
That's quite sweet, really.
So that's why I put it as my number one. But I don't think I'm going to win this week, that's for sure.
In terms of your prospects, you've gone with a millionaire shortbread that you've already mentioned on a previous show.
Yeah.
A shit wedding cake.
And that's exactly it. No, it's not literally made of shit.
Well, no, it's literally called shit wedding cake.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
And then an angel cake that you described as quite shit and goes stale quickly.
Yeah, but mum dressed as one.
We're not judging top
you
three.
You do you, mum.
Sentimental cakes.
Costumes.
Yeah, costumes.
That would be a good round, though.
Pipe down, everybody. I picked angel cake.
Okay. Right.
And I'm prepared to give up my biggest rank of crown from 3 weeks ago.
That's way gone. That one's in the post on the way to one of these two, I think. Hannah, go for it.
Okay. So my third choice is called a Boston cream pie. So I don't know if you've heard of this before. It's American, from Boston, obviously. And even though it's called a pie, it is a cake. It was created around the late 1800s. And apparently back then, pies and cakes were just made in the same shape pans or the same size. And so they just used pie and cake interchangeably, which is, I mean, a little bit like blasphemous, really, but I guess they don't care over there. And so it was a hotel, actually, that created it, and it was this French chef. So it's two layers of, like, a yellow butter cake, which, you know, kind of like a sponge cake, but made with leavening agent. And then it's got a custard, in like a thick custard in the middle between the layers, and then it's got a chocolate glaze over the top.
Sounds so good.
It's so good. So the very first ones also had rum syrup that went over the custard, and then they used some sliced almonds and things as well to fancy it up. But the combo of the three elements, like the cake, the custard, and the chocolate, is just, it's such a nice combo with texture, and the moisture from the custard makes the cake really moist, because sometimes butter cakes can get a bit dry, like sponge cakes. And the richness of the chocolate and the creaminess of the custard, it's just aesthetically, it's lovely, but then also texture and flavor, it's just a really, really nice combo of the three. And it's quite simple. And you can make it with cream rather than custard for people who don't like custard. And the chocolate ganache glaze on top, you could make it with, you know, dark milk or white or whatever, depending on the preference of those eating it. So I like that it's got some versatility as well. But it's just growing up, I don't even know. I think it was, Evan, do you know, you remember Marie Callender's restaurants, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a really mediocre restaurant chain in the States, but they were known for their pies. And they had a Boston cream pie, even though it's a cake. And I had that growing up, and it's just stayed with me.
It looks incredible. It
looks so good.
They are delicious. They're not easy, actually, to make that well, because the custard, it's kind of easy to muck up the custard when you need it that thickness to stay in the middle but not ooze out the sides.
Yeah, you see that?
We've making a mistake of not having our tea before recording this podcast.
Ooh.
So every time we do like a food or a chocolate bar or a cake episode, we're just like salivating. Just
yeah, that's dangerous. Things.
And it's the bake-off tonight. What? During recording, isn't it? Do you watch The Great British Bake Off?
I actually got through... Sorry. Don't mind him. I got through two rounds of The Great British Bake Off auditions.
Did you? Oh my God.
I sure did.
Tell us more.
I wasn't going to do it. I mean, well, first of all, we lived in the States, so I couldn't apply. But then you know, I just always made my kids like birthday cakes and whatever. And I enjoy decorating and I enjoy baking. And so when I moved here, one of our close friends, he made me promise that I'd fill out an application when we moved. And so I did it as like a joke. And then I got the like the call back. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know if I actually want to do it. So I ended up going through like a there was like an online screening thing first. And so there was loads of essay kind of questions and pictures and whatever. And then they call the next after that bit, they call you and they give you like a test of like baking, technical baking questions. And so, yeah, I didn't make it past that round.
That's so good though, because like thousands of people apply.
Yeah, I think what made it was that when Hallie turned two, she wanted a bug birthday. And so she told me she wanted slugs on her cupcakes. And so I made slugs, like banana slugs out of fondant. So I used a photo from that. And then Owen had a cake that I made this deep sea fish that he asked for specifically when he turned three. And so I think it was stuff like that. It was a little bit novel, but it was fun. I don't think I'd actually want to be on the show, though. So I haven't applied again because I don't think I'd enjoy being, I think the pressure of it would really stress me out.
I love how they're, like, the cakes that they're picking at 2 and 3. I love that.
And you've also made a combine harvester cake, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did. Yep. But except I didn't make the combine. That was an actual model that I stuck on.
Corn.
Oh, yeah, no, I did that. The wheat, yeah. 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 That was fun. Should I do my number two?
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. I've got sidetracked. This is so interesting.
Right, my number two is the classic Victoria sponge made with fresh jam and cream, not custard and not anything else, but that rendition, and homemade, not a store-bought Victoria sponge. And I think that one sort of speaks for itself. It's a classic. It stood the test of time. It's still sort of a staple in, you know, British kitchens and country fairs and things that have the baking contests. They always have a Victoria sponge category because it's just one of the most classic British cakes that is kind of universally enjoyed. So I didn't actually know, but apparently it was one of the Queen Victoria's ladies-in-waiting, the Duchess of Bedford, in the early 1800s. She was the one, her name was Anna, but she was the one who is credited for first doing the Victoria sponge cake. Of course, the actual sponge cake is Italian and from before that, but that's not what we're talking about. And I like that it's substantial enough. I've made birthday cakes for people before using a Victoria sponge, but then actually doing a full icing with buttercream and decorating it to be like a birthday cake. And it's substantial enough to sort of hold that structure without, you know, sogging. But then at the same time, just as it's on its own, it's a very pleasing centerpiece with the sort of powdered sugar on the top and the jam around the middle. So I just figured if it's good enough for a queen and it's her favorite cake, then it's absolutely good enough to be my second. And especially because people call it the Victoria sandwich, then it feels sort of savory and then not really an indulgence. So that's bonus points.
Quite sure.
I just want to know if sogging was one of the technical terms on your bake-off application test.
It probably was. It was probably, is sogging a technical term? And I said yes. And they went, scratch her. She doesn't know what she's talking about. No, they asked me, one of the things they asked me was the difference between a croissant and like a puff pastry. And I couldn't think of the like specific, I don't know, like term or whatever. And I was like, well, it's croissant dough or puff pastry. And I just sort of said the words over and over again, like, you know, dough or a pastry. And so by the end of that, he just goes, right, okay, let's just move on. So I was like, well.
That's the last thing you want to hear in like a quiz or an interview.
Yeah, let's move on. You're out.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. So my number one, this might be a little bit controversial, but it's not. So it is actually blueberry crumb muffins. And these are specific blueberry crumb muffins that Evan knows because I've made them loads of times. But I argue, of course, they are cake, even though they're called muffins, because if you just pour the batter in a cake mold, you can bake it into a cake rather than individual small cakes, which is all a muffin is anyway. So we can fight about that, or you can just take my word for it, and we'll move on.
I'm going to ask Evan's advice here. Do we take our word for it, or do we fight her on it? You know best.
I mean, as a competitor, I believe we shouldn't take that as a cake, and she should have to pick another one. But as a consumer, they are so good.
And they're a cake. I mean, and if you go by the science of baking a cake and what the definition of a cake is, then it's a cake because it's got the cake ingredients and it's mixed and made the exact same way. It's just the way it's molded. And really, at what point does it stop being a small cake and start being a muffin? I think store-bought muffins are almost always completely disappointing.
Yeah.
But homemade, these ones, think of them, don't picture muffin. Just think of tiny cake. Tiny, handy, portable cake. Single portioned, just the right size. Oh, the dog is knocking things over. So they are made with, it's like a butter cake, and they're light and they're spongy, and they're full of fresh blueberries. And then they've got this crumble topping, which is like a sugared cinnamon crunchy topping that's made out of kind of a roughly combining flour, butter, sugar, and cinnamon. But the reason these are superior to other cakes is because the thickness of the batter allows the dog is being really loud. I'm sorry.
All right.
It allows the blueberries to evenly disperse through the batter. But it's thick enough that they don't all just sink to the bottom, because that's kind of the risk you run when you put a heavy berry, like a blueberry in a muffin, is that then they sink to the bottom and it gets all soggy. Exactly. But these don't do this. The blueberries are kind of throughout. And because it uses fresh blueberries, they don't leak through the batter and make it all go that bluey gray color. It stays that nice yellow cake while the blueberries stay, you know, blueberry colored. So even though it allows the blueberries to, you know, not sink to the bottom, the actual cake itself is really bouncy and light, and it's nice and moist. It's the best cake recipe I've found. It's so nice. Plus the blueberries, it just adds that sort of color aesthetic and interest. And the sort of sweet, tangy addition to the cake is just top notch. So as if that's not enough, the crumb topping has the sort of texture and mouth feel that's different than the smooth and squishy blueberries. It's the kind of crumbly crunchiness with a bit of that like slight cinnamon spice to it. It's really just the whole package. And then I would argue that in muffin form, it's superior to a cake mold, because then it's easily shared and portioned out for sort of guilt-free consumption. That seems to be a theme in my cakes. If I don't have to feel like I can trick myself into thinking it's really just a healthy choice. And the individual packaging means they stay fresh longer because they don't get the exposed edge of a cake when it's cut. And yeah, you can also just make it into a cake if you don't want muffins. So that's why it is absolutely top notch for flavor and for mouthfeel and for aesthetic. It's just the whole package.
The most disappointing part of those is when they're all gone.
It's so true. They don't last long.
They do not.
This episode, we should have waited until after lockdown and done it kind of in one of our houses, so you could have brought some of these muffins, because they sound absolutely incredible.
I will absolutely make them for you. Whenever we next see you, I promise I will make some.
You're on.
So good.
They are. They're amazing.
I don't know how you top that, Evan, considering that the blueberry muffins, sorry, the blueberry crumb muffins, as they're known, got your seal of approval as well. But do you want to give it a go anyway?
No. I
should have... Bye.
Everyone. Episode over.
I should have written more detail down. I'm really disappointed in myself now.
To be fair, Evan was working his job all day while I was researching cakes, so...
No, I did write stuff down. I just was a little bit wary of the fact that Hannah had...
Over and over again.
Yeah, I just wrote cake three times and 1, 2, 3. And then I was just going to fill in with whatever Hannah didn't choose. For some reason, I knew that those like blueberry muffins were going to come up, so there was no way I could put those. I was really close to putting Boston cream pie cake.
Were you really?
Because, yeah, because it's so good.
It is so good.
I don't know why I'm defending your position.
No, keep it up.
I did have to like endure a whole day of, I'm going to win from someone.
The dog.
Yes. All right. So if I have number three for me is a chocolate lava cake. Or some of those, like some people call them like molten lava cakes, but basically chocolate cake with some sort of fudge center that when you poke it, it like oozes out. And I really like it with ice cream on top. We used to go to a restaurant when we were growing up that would do like the chocolate lava cake with Heath bar. I don't know if we have that here. It's like a toffee candy bar. It's thin and it's like crunchy.
Crunchy toffee.
Yeah. And we originally started with one chocolate lava cake to share between the four family members. And then that quickly became two. And then one for my brother, one for me, and one for my parents. And we used to fight over who would share with my mom so we could get more. Brilliant. So that's number three for me. I don't have more detail about where it was made or the origin of it. But it is, that's number three for me. All right. So number two, I've gone with the cherry Bakewell tart. And for that's me, that's one of those, but it's a cake.
Well, can I just put in there? Bakewell is actually originated from Derbyshire, and it actually started off like as a cake, and then it kind of commercialized into a tart. So it's like actually cake.
I've made a Bakewell cake, but Evan, you should switch it to the Bakewell cake, because tarts by cake definition aren't cakes. Tarts are tarts.
Yeah, but cake by British definition is anything that's like a pudding type dessert thing.
No, it's not. Otherwise, this would be much more widely. We'd have too many things to go through.
Do you want to go back and fight again?
Oh, no. I thought you were asking if I wanted to fight. Do you want to go?
No, but no, I can change it to separate rooms. No. Well, we're already in separate rooms. We couldn't be near each other during this.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well then I'll.
So should we go with a cherry Bakewell cake / tart?
Yes, we'll go with that.
You're so boring.
Evan.
Chris.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Evan.
I thought that was helpful for me.
And you diplomatically strode in. And
she's just upset because she's seen the minus next to her angel cake that I've written down.
Disappointing. Sentimental value does go you no good on this show.
Sorry, this is a business. There's no sentiment.
Tell us about the Bakewell blank.
The Bakewell dessert. I really like the combination of like the cherry and almond, just because it's not the most sweet thing. And so you don't get that like same sugar heavy overload that you would with like the chocolate cake. And so you can eat more of them. Which again is a common theme for us. If we can eat more, then it's probably better.
Our family motto.
I very much subscribe to that.
So I don't have a whole lot more detail of that. I did learn that it originated in Derbyshire today, so that was very exciting.
I do agree with Evan. I think it's a lovely combo.
I did actually.
Yes. Help.
We, the cake that I've made before has, Evan, do you remember what the cherry jam was called? Morello cherries. And they're a tart cherry because, you know, jam can be overly sweet.
Yeah.
And so you've got this sort of tart cherry jam between the almond cakes. And then it's just got kind of like a simple icing glaze on the top with some sliced almonds, but it's really nice. I agree that flavor palette on that cake is up there. probably fourth best, I would say.
I think Hannah probably knows lesson three.
I absolutely do. I actually made a list of, worst cakes as well as my top three. I made a top three worst, and it is on my top three worst. I think. Well, what is it?
Oh, it's carrot cake for sure.
Yeah, that's the one.
There's something about carrot cake that I just, it's so good. It doesn't really matter, like, who makes it or where it comes from. It's just,
I beg your pardon.
It's always good. Oh. This isn't about your cake making skills.
Well, it is now.
It is now your sweet well, on the sofa.
Only if you make it.
If it's just as good from anywhere, then I won't worry about making it for you.
Oh my goodness. I should preface this by saying we've been doing a weekly Tesco shop, and Hannah saw like a cake on there, and she was like, oh, should I buy one? And she was like, no, I don't need a whole cake for myself, not realizing that I had already added a whole carrot cake for myself in the cart.
That was great.
I bet you didn't tell her either, did you?
No, he did. No.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't tell her till afterwards.
No, it was right. I said, oh, I don't need a whole cake for just me. And Evan goes, I ordered a whole cake just for me. It was like sheepish, though. It was very funny.
But there's nothing wrong with ordering a whole carrot cake, so I don't feel bad.
No. I want to know what's Hannah's top three worst cakes.
Are you done defending it or trying to, Evan?
No, I can defend it to the end of the earth.
Go for it. You finish that up before I tear it down.
Okay. The thing about carrot cake is that you can have regular frosting or cream cheese frosting, and it just enhances the flavor of the carrot cake. And you can add things like raisins that make it good. And then you can take away the walnuts because those are disgusting. And you can put pecans on there, and then it'll make it even better.
Pecans.
I love how pecans. It reminds me.
Pecan.
Of, what's that chef you have in America? Beth.
Guy Fieri.
Barefoot Contessa.
Oh yeah.
Love her. She says pecan. Sorry.
Pecan. Carry on. Pecan.
Pecan.
Pecan. Are you done?
No, I don't want you to tear it down now, though.
I don't really have much to say about it. I mean, I appreciate the fact I don't like it, because then when I make it, I don't have the urge to eat it.
Which is probably why I like it, because then I can eat more of it, which is a common theme of this podcast.
Good point, well made.
I will say I do have a bonus one, because I had to go bonus, even though I don't have like a whole list of like all the cakes that I don't like. I was looking back at a travel journal that I had when I went to Europe when I was 16. And I remember this cake vividly because we had gone to Salzburg in Austria. So I went to Salzburg, and it was pouring rain that day, and we'd been walking around, and it was miserable. It was nice, like the city and all, but we were drenched. And so we went into this cake shop called Demel, which apparently is like this uppity cake shop. And they had this like almond crunch cake. And in my mind, it was like the best cake I've ever had, but probably because of the fact that I was miserable, that I'd been on a bus and then gone off the bus to get soaked.
Sorry.
It's all right. But then I could never remember the name of the cake, like if it had a specific name. And so I was like, oh, we're doing a cake show. I need to add this. So I go back to the journal, and I put, this is the best nut cake that I ever had in my entire life. And so 16-year-old me was like, that was a good idea to write on the internet.
Nut cake.
I love how you got your journal out.
Oh my gosh, there are some gems in that.
Did you say it's There's on the internet?
Yeah, but you won't be able to find it, so it's fine.
Nut cake.
nut cake is my bonus cake.
So, I think. Oh no, we've got Hannah's worst three to do, haven't we? Before I pick away.
Oh, do you want them?
A bit more time to think. Yeah.
All right. Well, carrot cake is on my worst cake list because I want. I don't want vegetables in my dessert. I'm sorry. I love vegetables. I think they're great. There are times when it's okay in a loaf cake that you can eat as like a snack, as things like zucchini bread or banana bread, especially because they're not trying to imposter as a cake. They call themselves bread, and they can be in that weird vegetable baked hybrid area. But carrot cake is just vegetables in a cake, and I think that's really wrong. The second one is cheesecake, which is overwhelming and too rich, and it's gooey. It's also not a cake. It's a tort because it's got all those eggs, and it's like a kind of a pie cake thing, but I just think cheesecake's gross because after like a single bite, it's too much. And then my third is the red velvet cake, because in order to be red, you have to use the most horrific amount of food coloring, and the flavor is completely overrated, and it's apart from being red, there's nothing remarkable about it, and so all you have is just a horrific amount of red food dye.
And it's always dry.
It's awful. It's just awful. So those are my three worst cakes.
Some wasted calories, I think.
Exactly.
I 100% agree with two of those.
I know you love cheesecake.
I love cheesecake.
I think Hannah's talking about the baked one with the eggs.
Okay. Any of it. They're all with eggs.
Good knowledge, Joe. Oh. Bake Off winner 2021.
No, I made cheesecake on Friday. It didn't have eggs in.
Didn't it?
Philadelphia, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was one of these like that you make in like 10 minutes. It was nothing that should be celebrated.
You say make in 10 minutes, but we took it out too early and it just melted everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I made it an hour before our guests arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to get cheesecake right.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't that great.
What? If it comes from the Cheesecake Factory, then it can't be wrong.
Oh,
do you get those here?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's so overrated.
There is a cheesecake shop in Birmingham that we've been to.
It's called the Cheesecake Factory, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's not the Cheesecake Factory.
But it was very good.
But I really want to go because it's like what everyone talks about when they go to America.
Oh, yeah. We don't have.
It's like
yeah.
Went all the way to Seville with Evan, and he had to go to Taco Bell.
Oh my gosh!
International Taco Bell. You can't go wrong with that. And then I ate stuff at the other place as well. So,
like chips.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
He did try still.
Right.
So, picking a winner this week. There was. Clear cut winner until they said something a little bit controversial that's kind of brought them back into the pack. So, third place is Joe.
Oh, what a surprise!
What a surprise. I think we knew that was coming after the angel cake.
I don't mind as long as I pick what I want to pick.
No, I like angel cake, I just don't like the fact that you described it as. Did you say it right?
I thought it was quite representative of the cake.
Okay.
A bit shit and it does stale quick.
I was like, you're really not selling me on this. So,
I'm honest. I have integrity. Let's move on.
And then, initially, Hannah was way, way, way in front of Evan. But with the little extra bits you guys added, not liking cheesecake.
Kind of it's not a cake!
Knocked you down a little bit. And then just Evan saying the word nut cake cracked me up. And it brought him back into contention. But it's too little too late, Evan. I'm sorry, mate. Hannah was just that extra notch ahead of you, so...
I mean, Victoria Sponge is his favourite.
Victoria Sponge is my favourite. I love that cake.
You can't go wrong. That's the beauty of it.
I think Boston cream pie might be my new favourite when I try it. It sounds incredible.
I'll make you one of those too.
Yes. This is 10 minutes of a episode for us.
Excellent.
I think you're just bribing him now. You won already. It's okay.
The dog is going absolutely crackers and sprinting back and forth everywhere. He's being a really bad participant.
He knows he's won.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, he's doing victory lap.
Brilliant. So, yeah, congratulations, Hannah. You're this week's biggest relic.
This is the highlight of my quarantine.
Yes.
Genuinely honored.
Return.
Ah.
Regift. Return.
Now we're going to play Return, Regift, Retain, Triple R.
Yeah.
Chris, do you want to introduce?
Yeah, so the celebrity this week, and I hope the guests know him, is James Corden.
Yeah, I do know that one.
Yep.
Cool. So I've gone for three gifts that are a little bit boring this week, just because I've always had a standout one, and I feel like this has been too easy of a round.
Please tell me you've put in a Lambuna.
I've not put in a Lambuna, no.
Sorry, Lizzie and Adam. Listening.
You're looking at my boo now.
Let's share.
So, the first item is a duck-shaped corkscrew bottle opener.
Excellent.
Because everyone knows that ducks have corkscrew-shaped penises. Second one is taco-shaped slippers, just because.
Excellent.
That would be quite difficult to navigate up the stairs in.
The third item is a toilet paper cannon. So, I don't know if you've seen these. They're kind of like leaf blowers, but they've got like a
rubber
at the end that you put toilet paper on.
Can I just stop you there? I have wanted to rant about this for a long time and haven't had the environment or the audience to do so. Can I just get out my annoyance with a leaf blower? Like,
yeah.
They're the most ridiculous, insane, non-useful item. Like, nobody needs to blow the leaves. Like, the wind does that for you. Why waste your time stood there blowing leaves? Anyway, carry on.
Isn't it just because it's faster than raking?
But why do you need to rake?
To pick them up so that it doesn't kill the grass.
Oh, I never thought about that. Sorry, I'll get everyone back on task. Sorry about that, Chris.
Okay. Go on then.
So I think James Corden would re-gift the duck-shaped corkscrew.
Really?
Because it's useful, novel, and like, useful.
A slipper's not useful and novel?
No, I think he would keep the slippers.
Really? I think so too.
Yeah, because I think they're like, they'll make him feel more at home in America because he's like wearing American like taco-y slippers.
Totally.
And they have, like, in America, I don't know, I'm generalising here, Hannah and Evan, so the houses are bigger, and I think
Definitely.
The stairs would be wider.
Yep.
So actually, I don't see that as a problem to navigate the stairs in America.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I love how big the houses are in America. I think it's cool.
Having never been.
Yeah, having never been. Only watching it on reality shows. Oh, God. Yeah. And the toilet paper I just sent back, like, I don't get it at all.
You don't understand it?
No.
It blows toilet paper at people.
For TPing?
Why? It's not, like, very environmentally friendly.
But it's fun.
But for what? It's not that
Do fun, people... Do you not TP, like, toilet paper people's houses here?
No, I have...
You tend to newspaper people's houses?
No, we don't. What the fuck?
At uni, you have to wrap people's in newspaper, like every single item.
No, but in America, I think
no, the outside of the house.
Stuff, but like when they're bullying people, that like kids in high school, they'll
it's like a prank.
Yeah.
But like you, egg in a house.
Egg in a house, but they do it with toilet roll.
Yeah, so you hold the end of the roll, and then you chuck the roll. And so then you're like, it streams out from the bit you're holding. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then it goes up over tree branches or up over, like, the awning of the house or up over... If you can get it up over the roof, that's, like, the ideal one. And it's... Oh, God, the dog.
Oh, he's so cute.
Sorry.
Oh, it's so cute. Hannah, Evan, what are your views on what Corden baby would do?
Go on, Evan.
I feel like he would be a slipper guy. If James Corden has a wine opener... he probably doesn't need the duck one, unfortunately. I feel like he would want to regift, like, the toilet paper shooter. But, like, I specifically think of, like, one of those guys in A League of Their Own, like, with the toilet paper shooter.
Yeah.
Just, like, out on tour.
I agree, actually. I think he would return the duck, because he probably has a person who opens his wine. Or one of those electric ones that, you know, you pop on and it went, and then, you know.
He sounded like a duck there.
And then I think he would definitely regift the toilet roll thing, just because the nature of, like, a late night host of, you know, it'd be the sort of thing that you could film a bit with, and then you could bring it on your show and, you know, be like, this is our next guest, and I sent them this, and then look what they got up to.
Right, so it looks like you've been overruled, Joe.
That's fine by me.
Yeah.
He's definitely a slipper man, though.
Yeah, so we can all agree he's a slipper man, but he's regifting the toilet paper cannon, and he's going to send back the duck-shaped corkscrew bottle opener.
Yeah.
Well, that's sorted. It's time for some pungun.
Pungun?
Yeah. It's Hannah picking the number this week. Hannah, do you want to give me a number between 1 and 4, just to see what we're mixing with our cakes?
Okay. Nope, not 5. That's not between 1 and 4. Oh, God. You're going to revoke my title now. God. 3.
3, okay. 3 is animals.
Brilliant.
So we're going to do some animal cakes. We're going to give you guys a couple of minutes to listen to that. And yeah, we'll come back when it's
I'm going to be terrible on this one. So yeah, we'll take a few minutes and come back.
Yeah.
Pun. Hannah, do you want to start with a pun and then everyone can just shoot them out?
Yeah. Okay, my first one was the operana cake for an opera cake.
I got operat cake. It's not as operana.
I like operana better.
Yeah.
I'll go with a really bad one. A Genoese cake.
What?
A what?
It's like a Genoese, but it's a hen.
Oh, a hen. I can't think of the animal.
Oh, that's good. I had a really a Genoese. I had a Genoese cake.
Oh, oh, nice.
Oh, wow. Evan, you got any?
I've got a battering ram.
A battering ram?
Like cake batter.
Oh, like bits of a cake.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'm right. Yeah, I get it now. I'm sorry. Way more funny when you have to explain them.
Yes, they are.
Banana bread panda.
Oh, nice.
Bread panda.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Slow on the uptake there, all of us.
My next one I'm going to get loads of shit for, because I think a Jaffa cake is actually a biscuit, not a cake. But I had giraffe cake.
No. Oh, that is good. I would argue that a Jaffa cake is a cake, so I think you're fine.
Oh, sweet. There we go.
I had a Karl Rottweiler cake.
Oh, Karl Rottweiler. Wow, that is so good.
I had, if we're going like on the baking side of things, I have a squirreling pin.
Aww. I like that.
I like that one.
That's quite cute.
A square rolling pin. I just like squirrels.
I got fondant fancy lion.
No. Oh, that's a good one.
How about a choc chip puffin?
Yes.
Oh, these take me a really long time to get. I had a sea sponge cake. For a sea sponge.
Oh, sea
sponge. You know, like a sea sponge.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah?
It's been a while then, sorry. How about a coffee and walrus cake?
Oh, yeah, cocky. Oh, nope, not that. That goes with Evan's nut cake. Oh, sorry. I had a sheep on cake.
Nice. Not necessarily an animal, but I got the red velveterinarian cake.
Oh, well, you can't have animals without a vet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's important.
So. I have a cake popopotamus.
Can you say it again?
Cake popopotamus.
Anything more trivial.
That's true. That's brilliant. I also had a chiffon cake. As in like a fawn, like a baby deer.
Yeah. Oh, nice. On that note, I got a Dundee cake and a Blondie.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Okay, they're tenuous, so just humour me. And I'm out of puns. It was a week day for me.
You're out. I've got 4.5 left. So I think
I have a few.
You've got a few. Do you want to keep going, Anna?
Yeah. I had the flower lesser spotted woodpecker cake for a flowerless cake.
Brilliant.
Oh, I like that. I have a Swiss roly-poly.
Oh, like the little potato bugs.
Yeah, pill I don't bugs, know why right? All of mine are like, yeah, all of mine are like cute, cuddly animals. I don't have any like serious ones.
Sorry, you think the roly-poly insect is a cute, cuddly animal?
No, but a Swiss roll is cute and cuddly.
Sticky.
Evan at night spoon Swiss roll.
Along Evan's book theme, I've got a pollen caterpillar cake. It's in there.
Oh, that's a, yeah. I had a hummingbird cake, which is just a type of, which is not very fun, is it, really? Upside winder down cake. Because a sidewinder is a type of venomous pit viper. So, you know, upside down cake, upside winder down cake.
That's really good, but I've never heard of it.
That's from Owen, actually.
One of his podcasts.
Yeah.
I have a, not a cake, but a tortoise.
Oh, I had that too! Ugh. I had the same one. Aw.
I like that one.
I had Tasmanian devil's food cake.
That's amazing.
Marble cake?
Oh, yeah. Whoa. That is a good one.
I have a bit of an out there one, but it's a Shakespeare reference. So instead of the Taming of the Shrew, I have combining Taming of the Shrew and Taming of the Strudel to Taming of the Shrudel.
Strudel's not even a cake.
You know, it's a dessert pastry.
I liked how every part of that was different.
Not relevant.
I just think shrews should now be called shrudels. I think
shrudels. It's
much better. Right.
Please do that one.
I'm saving that one till last.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a fruit bat cake instead of a fruit cake.
Along the theme of bats, I had a Battenberg.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out of cake ones. Apparently, I just did dessert ones, but I have a brownie bear.
Aww.
That one counts.
Brownies. Brownie. Yeah, brownies could be cakes.
I mean, they're more cakes than strudels, so.
That is true.
Strudels, please. Strudels.
Strudels. I had a Germanity chocolate cake.
Oh, nice.
Nice. So I've got two more, one that I'm saving till last. So I think if I do my other one, and then we just let Hannah quickfire, if you've got quite a few left.
I don't even have that many left.
Okay.
I've got three left.
Okay. Well, I'll go Panda Tony.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then I'll let you go through yours.
I have a Wilde yeast cake. And then again with the opera cake, but an au peregrine falcon cake. And then I had a gâteaued.
Oh, nice, gâteaued. Love that.
So those are all mine.
Sweet. So the last one, the one that Jo's been waiting for me to say because she's had a look at my list really sneakily, was if we were to put all of our animals together, we'd have a zoo fly.
Oh, brilliant. Oh.
Well done. Famously, cake is a souffle.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be one to argue that. The semantics of cake definition. It's not me.
Cool. So we're out of puns. I think that was really good.
Yeah, really
good. Amazing.
That was fun.
Yeah. Should we get on to the bonus question?
Yes. What's your bonus question?
Bonus.
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 So, my bonus question this week is jam or cream first on a scone?
Oh.
This is
a shout-out to school. They'll be having a right little WhatsApp feast on this question.
Well, I've got a certain way I'd like to do it, which I know for a fact is the wrong way.
I think I do it the wrong way as well, actually.
Really? Which way do you do it?
I do cream and then jam.
What? I don't know those people. How
yeah,
do you
because
spread the jam on the cream?
Well, you don't have to spread it on so much. You can just kind of plop it on top. But the issue with if you put the jam first, I find, is that when I then spread the sort of thicker, heavy cream, is it squashes the jam out from underneath it. And then you get sort of these patches where it just gets too patchy. So I really feel that I prefer cream than jam. And then you just kind of dollop the jam on top.
Oh. I have strong feelings against this because I feel like jam is more spreadable than cream. So you want to plop the cream on top and you then have the better even layer of jamming.
Mm.
But I think I'm not a very practical person, so it might just be my ability to spread things. Like, I still struggle with bread and butter.
It's
my lack of dexterity, Mom. That's why I have strong feelings around this, because it's just bringing my neck to the sword rather than what actually should happen.
How do you get, if you're dolloping the cream on, how do you not just get massive blobs of cream then?
No, you do, but when you live life like me, you just have to let that happen, you know. You've got to be satisfied with just a jam and scone bit, and then when you get to the cream jam scone, it's like, what a bonus.
You know what you could do is you could spread the jam on your scone, pop some cream on a spoon, and then you take a little bite of the cream and then take a bite of the scone.
This is why Hannah's a good all-round person.
This is the best experience I've had in a really long time.
I have to say, though, afternoon teas are one of my favourite things to do. And
absolutely.
And now I think it may have improved even further because I could get jam and cream on every bite.
There you go.
Evan, what's your thoughts?
Oh, I'm in the same boat. It's like cream and then the jam. And it doesn't really, like, if you can have a whole layer of cream, then, like, the jam can go on top. But I'm also, like, that same person that would spread it on top, take a bite out, and then sort of fill as I go. So.
Amazing. So we've sorted that one.
Yeah, that's
done. So, yeah, thank you both, basically, for coming on.
Thank you so much. Like, I've had a real blast. Like, it's nice to hang out. We've not actually hung out.
I know.
We're going to be on the show in 2 weeks, and Joe's saying I've had a blast.
Yeah, I know. What have I become? American.
I mean, genuinely, I did have a blast, so that's fine.
Thank you, Hannah and Evan, for that episode. This week's biggest ranker was, of course, the Queen of Bakes, Hannah. And thank you, Ollie, you cute little corgi, for also chipping in. If you want to get in touch, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at RankBankPod, or you can email us at rankbankpod@gmail.com.
Remember to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our intro and outro music is Dream of the Forest Jazzy Mix by Articon, and the Pun Gun Round is inspired by the brilliant No Dunks podcast.